여기서 이제
응사구원자.
강의하고 이런 조지
但是我们不一定会把所有的纲要的这些地方交出去。我不知道，我不会想办法，不通，把这些内容都弄清楚。因为一年多了，时常交通到这几天。然后，这盘呢，我们在米加什一方面把这老弟看看。
但是我觉得特别对耶路撒冷这个观念弟兄姊妹比较不太清楚。哎，他会教比方说话，有个不认同，把那个蒙住，有的时候两年，老杨没办法讲，没脱的。所以我觉得还是花一点时间来教。那他们教这比方说话，老师不困，对呀，才会让老，好吧，把那个听嘛。
耶路撒冷在圣经里非常重要的地方。等到雷炮皮了，那古耶路撒冷变成啊，撒旦啊，地方非常重要。It is very much related to the eternal purpose of God.
是神所拣选。It
is God's choice.
建造成人的基础，that
place that he wanted, where he wanted his spiritual house to be built. Jerusalem is a house of God. That is his temple. It is also God's kingdom. Of course, the house or the dwelling place is where he lives. Now the temple, the holy temple. What do you go to the temple to do? To worship. To worship. How about the kingdom? Zion. Jerusalem is also Zion. It's a city of the great king. It's God's kingdom. God wants to reign there. Through Zion and through Jerusalem, God wants to reign over the whole earth. There is his throne. He is kingdom. It's not you and it's not I. So we all have to learn not to be king in Jerusalem. He said, that is why Jerusalem is very important. That's why we also need to see this point very clearly. Don't just say Jerusalem is a church today. That's right. But how do you build the church? Are you building, or who is building? What do you use to build? And based on what do you build? Whatever you build, what does it look like? How come there are so many different kinds of denominations and groups on this earth? Those are not God's building. But it is man building there. That is why there is so much variety. So we need to know our God's heart. Christians cannot be loose. In particular, concerning the building of God's temple, you cannot be loose. We think that if we can give a message, we can interpret the Bible, that's already the building. That's not that simple, and that's not that cheap. If you go study theology for 4 years, you graduate, you come out, and you can build the church. You understand a little bit of the Bible and you think you can build the church. You're not holy, not righteous, and there's no glory of God. It's only in the mouth. And you think you can build the church. I'm sorry. Perhaps I said too strong a word. Is it too strong? Just talk, and it comes into being. We have been practicing this kind of thing for 40, 50 years. What came out of it? Are we not saddened? Do we not rebuke ourselves? Do we not repent? Do we not ask God? And we still continue to persist in our ways. And in the end, do not forget, there is judgment. There will be judgment. That is why may the Lord have mercy on us today, so that we may come to understand just a little bit of it. Our understanding is very limited. Who can say that he knows everything? We already read the passage in Acts. Let's take a brief look at it again. Because this is connected to what we fellowshipped about last night. Why did God of Jacob, the Almighty God, why did he want to build a dwelling place? That heart was right. But how is it to be built? God told David. He says, you will not build it. You will not be the person to build it. If I were the first one to hear it, is it, if it's not I, who would it be? I get angry. Brother Chu, I feel very strange. I'm the first one that discovered that, and you don't want me to build it? My jealous heart would rise up. Did David do that? Did David get angry? There's a king who is greater than I. How come you say you don't want me to do it? No matter what the reason is. There was a reason, because God said to him, you have too much blood on your hands. Brothers and sisters, how many people who act as a head, who are pastors, yet they have slaughtered so many people, they have damaged and harmed so many brothers and sisters. You think you're almighty. If you do not listen to me, I'll just cast you away. If they're a bit weak, you just laugh at them. You think you are almighty? Brothers and sisters, let the Lord choose. Thank the Lord. David was a person who learned his lesson. He feared God. He did not ask why. Thank the Lord. He just accepted the fact. Today, if you are an elder and the Lord tells you to lay down your eldership and do not be an elder anymore, can you drop it? Can you put it down? Everybody says amen. It's not that simple. Build the temple. Who can build it? That is why, what does this passage say? 47 says that it is Solomon who built the church. But that temple was not yet the real thing. That is why in Acts 7:48 it says, however, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. The temple built by Solomon was just a type. It was not yet the real thing. Last night, we also read Hebrews chapter 11. Who is the builder and the architect of Jerusalem? It's God. You see, what was the end of Solomon's life, the one who built the temple? Would we people be any better than he? That is why Stephen quoted what the prophet said. He quoted Isaiah 66, verse 2. He said, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord?
We are
We were all created by Him. He made us. So what can we build for Him? We are very proud and haughty. The more you think that you can do it, the worse it is. Oh, what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things? Whatever man made is not his dwelling place. Because God does not dwell in a house made by man's hands. You all have to remember this word. Do not think that we are so capable. We know how to speak. We know how to arrange and plan things. And we can organize. And we can direct. We are all very capable in these kind of things. We've got many methods. We can sing. We can dance. We can do all things. Very capable. And what's the outcome? Is it a place that God wants to dwell in? We all need to be afraid of that kind of thing. We have to be afraid of ourselves. Let's say what Isaiah said. Isaiah 66. In verse 2, it continues to say, Isaiah 66. We already read verse 1, that's quoted in Acts. For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist. So what can man build for him? What do I care for? What do I look for? Am I looking for capable people? People who can speak? Brother Wei Xiong, is this what your Bible says? No? Well, then what Bible are you using? Is your Bible wrong or is my Bible wrong? Well, maybe it's because I have presbyopia and I cannot read very well. What kind of person is God looking for? We need it out to us. I cannot read very well. On this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. Really so? Not a great apostle who can speak? And one who continues to publish many, many books nonstop? Does God look for such a person? What God seeks, what God is looking for, a person that he can use, or he will use, should be how? Who is poor and of a contrite spirit, not thinking that he is so capable, way high above everybody else, and lording, controlling the saints, lording over the saints. Tell me, can this kind of people build the church? A very one who is very good in administration, very strong and capable. Are you such a person? He said, brother says, sometimes. Only sometimes? We are all like this. Not only you. We too. It's me too, and you too. Thank the Lord, we all are the same. If we're all like that, what should we do? Should we no longer build? That's why you need to learn to live in the Spirit. Because in your flesh and in my flesh, we're all the same. We're all the same. If you don't learn, if you don't exercise by the grace of God, you tell the Lord daily, Lord, come help me. Learn to hear the speaking of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Besides, prepare all these offerings. The first offering is the burnt offering. Enjoying the life of Christ who is fully obedient to the God. So what's the use of a burnt offering? I don't need it. You don't need it. You don't need it. Then you'll be like him and like me. You'll be fierce. Be fighting. Arguing. We have to learn. That is why worship is not that simple. It doesn't mean to say you sing some hymns, you have some prayer, and that is worship. You also have to enjoy the humanity of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, it says that he laid aside his splendor and he lowered himself. And became a slave. And became a bondservant. He had created everything. He is a glorious God. He's willing to drop everything, to lay everything aside, and to condescend to become a man. But we are just the other way around. We are corrupt, fallen man in the flesh, and we want to lift up ourselves up to heaven to be like God. Totally contrary to his humanity. You want to build? What should we do? right? That is why these offerings are very important. Perhaps we do not have so many sessions that we can fellowship about this in detail. If you do not want to experience and prepare these offerings to offer up to the Father. So, brothers and sisters, what can you offer up? Your money? What are you going to offer up? To give an offering. Consecration. The offering, it's the sacrifice, it's the same. You don't have the offering. You don't have a peace offering. You are arguing, fighting every day. You don't have the trespass offering because you're sinning every day. So what are you going to offer up? Tell me. To offer your money? That's very simple. Was money not created by God? God did not. Oh, money is not spiritual. The Bible calls it the unrighteous mammon, the mammon of unrighteousness. So what should we do? How are you going to worship God? May God, the Lord have mercy on us. Let's come back again. The building in the New Testament age that God wants is not something man's hands can build. Our two hands won't work. Won't work. This morning you read Hebrews, right? Let's take a look. This point tells us that in the New Testament, the Jerusalem is heavenly. Galatians chapter 4 tells us that there are two women. There are two women. Who is the first one? The first one is Hagar. Hagar. Hagar refers to the old covenant, to the old man, and Sarah refers to the heavenly Jerusalem. It's referring to the New Testament. Paul really had insight. He took these two persons out to refer to the two covenants and also these two cities, one that is earthly and the other that is heavenly. One is of the flesh, and the other is born of the Spirit. Now tell me, to which one do you belong? You say, we don't believe in the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament. But you're living in your flesh. Doctrinally, you're in the New Testament, but your living is in the Old Testament. Who are you trying to deceive? Doctrinally, you say we're no longer in the New Old Testament. But when, if you're living in the flesh, your person is in the Old Testament. You're born of the flesh. Just like Ishmael. And you would also persecute those who are heavenly. Those who are born of the Spirit, the Isaac. You would kill Isaac. That is why today you need to understand one thing. In the New Testament age, everything is heavenly, not earthly. It's no longer the shadow. You need to have the real thing. It's not like the Old Testament age, it's of the letter. In the New Testament, it's the Spirit. You have to see this very clearly. Otherwise, whatever we do, it's all made with man's hands. Do you think that God wants to live here? No wonder you cannot touch God. And you do not hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's just in a very vague way, it's enough if you believe. That is not the faith. In the New Testament, it's a heavenly Jerusalem who is our mother. That means to say everything comes from the heavenly Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, is the mother of us all. Mother. It means that everything comes out of God in the New Jerusalem. It's born of Him. And what's born of Him is Hagar. Lord Jesus. That's why may the Lord have mercy on us. You not just know the teachings, but you need to be one who fears God. You have to fear God. Today we still have our flesh. I have our body. We have to fear what is in this flesh. The flesh is very capable and is able to do a lot of things that are contrary to God. That is why today, when we talk about Jerusalem, if you do not see this point and you just give a lot of teachings about it, but the basic thing is whether you have seen it or not. And you should not build in a loose way. You can build without prayer. You do not fast and pray and you think you can build. You don't repent and you think you can build. if you're unrighteous, you can still build. If you're unholy, if you're full of the flesh, you still think you can build. Now tell me, what is the end result of your building? Would the Lord accept it? The Lord will not take it. That is why, although this point is very simple, so we have to ask the Lord in prayer in a good way. May the Lord have mercy on us. Now we come back to Hebrews. We read Hebrews today, chapter
8.
It speaks of our great high priest, our Lord Jesus. Besides, this is the main point that is spoken of here. It's not only important, but it's the main point of the things we're saying. It's the most important thing. What is it? That we have such a high priest who is already seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Now tell me. Of course, I do believe that he is seated up there, but I'm sitting here in Georgetown. Of course, there's no problem with him seated up there, but I'm sitting here in Georgetown. Right? Where are you sitting? He said Georgetown. That's wrong. If you're only seated in Georgetown, you're of the flesh. I'm sorry. Because your physical body lives in Georgetown, but your spirit already dwells with the Lord in the heavens. That's why you have nothing to say. And you have no excuse at all. But if you're not living in your spirit, how are you going to be seated together with him in the heavenlies? No wonder all that we do today are all man-made. Because we do not have the concept. If you do not have that concept, then you're just sitting in Georgetown. But do not forget, when you are in your spirit, the spirit is connected to the heavens. You remember that in our first meeting, we spoke about the heavenly ladder. The elevator here in the hotel is very fast. It's very quick. It goes up to the 20th level. Let me tell you. Your spirit is much faster. When you touch your spirit, and you're up there. That's why Paul said, we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. If this is not the case, how can you make your way up there? Now, if you're only seated here, then you've got lots of problems. There's no way for you to solve the problems. Because you're pressed down by all the problems. Family problems, and you're pressed down. The church has some problems, and then you sink down. If the brothers and sisters have some problems, again, you're sunken. Some difficulties, then you just run away. Then you're afraid. Because you're not seated with him in the heavenlies. Everything is the Lord's footstool. All his enemies have become his footstool. That is why, where are you today? He said, half and half. It's okay. I hope the bigger half is up there. Now, what does the Word of God say there? He is in the sanctuary. What kind of a sanctuary? It's of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected. The true one, not the fake one. And not, it's not no longer the type. It's not man-made. The tabernacle that the Lord Jesus entered into was the real thing. Now, what is it you want? Do you want just a formality? You just sing a fellowship here in a good way? As long as there's some fellowship, it's good enough for you? Is that it? No. Our Lord Jesus entered into the true tabernacle. And who erected it? The Lord himself erected it. You have to remember this point. That's why the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church. The church today is this heavenly Jerusalem. If you're not in the Spirit, you cannot get up there. You cannot make it up there. Here it says in particular, and not man. The Lord erected, and not man. It's not built by man. This word is too serious. Because man cannot make it, because it is heavenly. Now in chapter 9 it says it even more clearly. Now we're in Hebrews chapter 9. Chapter 9, beginning with verse 11. Right. Verse 11. Let's read it together. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Yes, it's greater. More perfect. More perfect. It's a more perfect tabernacle. Thank the Lord. Again, it says, not made with hands. And that is not of this world, not of this creation. What does man build? Big meeting halls. A big building. Man can do that too. Whatever man can build, you can build. But that's not what God wants. Do not make a mistake. We need to pray to the Lord in a good way today. What you want is the greater and more perfect tabernacle, which is heavenly. We've been in the so-called church for many years. Whatever you call it, it's man-made. When I was younger, I saw the vision of the church. And I also knew what the will of God is. And at that time, I felt, great. Let's just build the church so that the Lord can come back quickly. Oh, dear. At that time, I did not know that there would be so many problems. Time and time again, I saw the problems. It seems that everyone understands the teachings, and they can speak about it. But in the end, how come within a day or within a very short time it all collapses and there's so much fighting going on? Changed. Problems came. When the earthquake came, it was destroyed. How come the building can just collapse so quickly? It said we're building for so many years and the wind blows and everything is blown away. I said, Lord. I asked the Lord. The Lord said, I did not build that. And I asked the Lord, when is it going to happen to us? What if it's built by this great apostle? Became such a thing. In the beginning, I did not understand. Today I see it more clearly. It's man-made. It's made by man's hands. In the end, are we all not always all looking at this person and we're lifting up this man? When you go, why? And it collapses. Because it's built by man. Since it's built by man, you will lift man up. In the end, man gets the glory. Man became the Lord. In the end, everybody listens to him and not to God, the Lord. You hear man and you do not hear Lord. Even though man may be in conflict with God, you're still listening to man. You do not have the mind of Christ, but you have the mind of the man. Aren't you in trouble? Tell me, isn't that a problem? I would all collapse. Even though it might not collapse, then when the Lord comes back again, it'll be burnt away. Don't do that anymore. Don't do that anymore. You have to learn to know God. Hear God. Have a real and intimate fellowship with the Lord and with Father, with God. Learn to hear the Holy Spirit and obey the Spirit. God is living and He lives in us. I don't want to listen to Him, but I want to listen to man. That doesn't work. You have to help man. You have to help man and bring man all the way to God. And once he's there, then you stop because it's none of your business anymore. Do not think you're so capable that in a entire lifetime people always have to rely on you. Then it'll be terrible. Have I not told you many, many times I don't want to go to Bangkok anymore? Because we all need to be joined to the head, who is Christ. If you're joined to man, then it becomes corrupt. There's no man on this earth that is not corrupt. As long as we have the flesh, we are corrupt. That is why Paul said, when we grow spiritually, we grow into the head of Christ and let Him rule in you. That should be the case. That is why the Word of God really tells us clearly enough. Now, we also saw in chapter 11, this heavenly Jerusalem. Was built and designed by God. Now we come to chapter 12. 5 more minutes. Verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Have you come? It's not that you will get there. It's not something in the future, but it's something today. You have come. Really so. You have come. You have to pay attention to the tense here. It's not that you will go there, but you have come. Meaning to say that today's Zion, the heavenly Zion, it's also the city of God, God's kingdom. It's present today. We have already come today. So if you're not in your spirit, can you have come? Besides, it says here, there are the innumerable company of angels. There's no such thing on earth. It's heavenly. The angels are watching us today. Do not think that man is not watching. Go. Do not think that the angels are not watching. The good angels are watching every day. How come it's still not built up? Oh, Thailand. Oh, in Bangkok. Did Paul not say in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, great is the First Timothy, great is the mystery of God, because God manifested it in the flesh, justified in spirit, seen by angels. Do you think nobody's watching? They're watching what you're doing. You have so many blessings. Flesh incarnated, died for you, and became your life, and he regenerated us, and the Holy Spirit is indwelling us, and yet what are you doing? I think the angels are more anxious than we are. If I were not a man, but an angel up there, I am sighing away. How come I'm not a man? I'm an angel. They're sighing for us there. You don't know how to enjoy the blessings that you have. What should we do? And then?
Uh,
To the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn who are registered in heaven. The Chinese translation is not so good, I'm sorry. And on top of that, my Chinese is not so good. So it's even more difficult to understand. Let's see what the original text says. This General Assembly, in the original language, is a festive, festal gathering. Because whenever they gathered in Jerusalem, they came to keep the feast. They did not come empty-handed. They always brought their offerings. So every time they gathered together, they came to the days of the feast. Do not think that the feasts are useless. This book, Hebrews, is written by Hebrews. He was a Jew, and he was very familiar with the Bible. So when he mentioned the heavenly Jerusalem, he would not forget that he came to Jerusalem to keep the feasts. Besides, it's the church of the firstborn of God. It's not so simple. It's not so clear, but if you understand Jerusalem, then you will understand it here. Why does it say that we're all the firstborn? How many firstborn that God have? Tell me. How many firstborn can you have in your family? How come you say it's the church of the firstborn? Because in Galatians it says that we have all been baptized into the firstborn, and we have all become Isaac. We have part in the firstborn birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is why the book of Hebrews is, do not sell your birthright. If you sell it, your portion, the best portion, is gone. In the Bible, many of the words in the Bible talk about the normal situation. But whether or not it's normal, it depends on us. And then, that our names are registered above. There you come to the God and judge of all. Are you not afraid of judgment? Have you ever told the Lord? You have to judge me. If you want to judge me, you should judge me now. I don't want to wait for the future. If you judge me today, I still have an opportunity to repent. But at your coming, before your judgment seat, where I'm going to hide? Would there still be a chance for me? There will be punishment. Are you not afraid? Do not be loose. Do not be loose. God will not be loose. That is why in chapter 12, it speaks of God as one who chastens us. In verse 5, it says, "Have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens." And scourges every son whom he receives. Do you like it? Do you like the scourging, the beating? Are you in despair? You don't want it anymore? No more? You don't want to go to Zion? It's too hard. God is love. Why would he beat me? You don't want to be chastened? If God would not chasten you and let you go, thank the Lord. In this heavenly Zion, there is still the mediator Jesus. Meaning to say, thank the Lord, you still have an opportunity to repent. There's a judge of all. God the judge of all, and there's a mediator. So what else do you need? Are you still afraid? You should not be afraid anymore. When the Lord chastens you, you have to remember that's because he loves you. When you're suffering, do not despair, because he loves you. When he scourges you, it's because he loves you. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Besides, we have the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the spirit speaks better things than the blood of Abel. We have his blood. Abel's blood calls for vengeance. But the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ is for forgiveness. And he cleanses us. Do not think that I'm cleansed. Okay, then I can do what I please. But if you do that, there will be judgment. And then it also says here, in verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth? But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace. Receive grace from the Lord, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Do not be loose. For here is a four. Our God is a consuming fire. This is serious. Today, God wants to shake the heaven and the earth. So that whatever is built by man's hand, whatever is shakable, that means to say, if we are using man's hands to build God's church today, God will come to shake. Do not think that it will not happen. It's already been shaken so many times. No? It's been shaken many times. Time and time again. Why? Because God wants to remove all the man-made, the flesh, the natural thing, so that what remains is the kingdom of God, which is unshakable. Are you not afraid? We all have to worship God. Do not serve in a loose way. You have to serve God with a fervent spirit, with reverence and godly fear, and to serve Him in His way as He pleases. Why? For our God is a consuming fire. Thank the Lord. So if another shaking comes, do not be afraid. Because God, once again, God wants to remove some man-made things. May the Lord have mercy on us. May we all serve God.